May my God bless you all, dear brothers and sisters, in all the churches, in all cities, countries, different places around the world, in more than 60 countries where the Church of the Lord is located, and everyone who is watching this sermon, all of you will receive your blessings. For all of the efforts you make in each day learning of God's word. And welcome to everyone, and a greeting with all my love for all our first-time guests and newcomers. People who are at home, who are unable to move due to a disability and only have a screen to watch the sermon, well, God also looks at that with eyes of love and mercy. And God wants all of us to follow him, to love him, and cherish his word. And that we follow his ways in the midst of this world full of a lot of evil and a lot of sin. But we are here to be light in the midst of all of them. And may God also use us to be a light for people and to be an example and testimony to many. So in our prayers, we always ask our God to help us so that we are able to fulfill with that work that he has entrusted us with and the responsibility he has given us. He has given each of us. God has given us a great responsibility, and we must answer to God just as such. And may God help us, and that we may work in his vineyard, as there is a hymn and chorus, to work in the Lord's vineyard. You may now be seated and get comfortable. And we continue with our story in Acts of the Apostles, which were the experiences in the early days when the gospel began to spread, when the Lord commanded his apostles to go throughout all the world and preach the gospel to every human being. The Lord did not tell them to focus on nationalities or languages or color of skin, but every human being should be spoken to about his word, and that God would manifest himself with wonders, with signs, that God would be supporting them. And God would always be with them, and people would receive the Lord's blessing. And so they began to work. And this is what we are reading. And today we are reading chapter 8 of Acts. And this is where, in the midst of our reading of all of those wonderful acts, of all of those wonderful, extraordinary events, we realize how God spoke, made promises, fulfilled the promises, and the apostles began to live those experiences and began to enjoy God's power and the wonderful spiritual gifts of the Holy Spirit. Everything was a reality, and many people saw and heard of the Lord's wonders. Not all believed. But yes, they knew or understood there was a true God, an invisible God, a God in spirit and truth. This they discovered, and all of them saw. Though foolish and hard of heart and unbelieving, they still saw it. But the apostles, they began their work. And here in the scriptures, we're going to find some things that are similar to what has happened to us today. And this is why. I give the Lord thanks, and I feel very happy because I know that we are walking in a path of truth in the Lord's ways, and that God is real. God exists, and God has placed us as examples to the world to be here preaching his true gospel. And it is he who has taught us. He takes us by the hand, thanks to our God. And so with our hearts prepared, with all our heart and willingness, we are prepared for our reading in Acts chapter 8. There are 40 verses here in this chapter, and we're going to enjoy this scripture, and we're going to set our heart on the Lord and desire that God also manifest himself among us as he did with the apostles in the beginning. And the Lord has promised this, and he has done this because many of us have received blessings and we've lived spiritual experiences thanks to the Lord. And so it reads, and I'm going to start with a few verses, two or three verses back in chapter 7 before we begin chapter 8. And I also greet the brothers and sisters here with me in the church. God bless you and welcome. So here in 58 in 7, it says that they cast him out of the city. They had cast Stephen out of the city and stoned him. Now, in our previous sermon, we realized that Stephen was filled with the Holy Spirit, and he had set his eyes on the heavens, and he saw the glory of God. He saw our Lord Jesus Christ seated at the right hand of God. And so he began to say, I see the heavens opened, and the Son of Man standing at the right hand of God. And when he began to say all of these things, all of those who were going to stone him, they were infuriated, and they said, and they cried out with a loud voice, stopped their ears, and ran at him with one accord. They did not want to hear the great miracle and the great event of God's manifestation. They did not want to listen, but they stopped their ears, and they ran at Stephen, and they cast him out of the city and stoned him. And the witnesses laid down their clothes at the feet of a young man named Saul. That young man named Saul was there. He was watching over the clothes of those who were stoning Stephen. And it says, and they stoned Stephen as he was calling on God and saying, Lord Jesus, receive my spirit. Then he knelt down and cried out with a loud voice, Lord, do not charge them with this sin. And when he had said this, he fell asleep. Now, I am so sure that while seeing God's glory and in that moment being filled with the Holy Spirit, he did not feel any physical pain of all of the stones that were being cast toward him. I'm sure he felt no pain because I believe God must have allowed him not to feel anything to give him that blessing, triumph, and victory, because also it happened with Moses. When Moses was 40 days and 40 nights on that mountain, and he did not eat or drink, and he never felt hunger. So if Moses, for 40 days and 40 nights, did not eat, did not drink, did not feel hunger because the Spirit of God was in him, well, this, I'm sure, is what happened to Stephen as well. He saw God's glory. He saw the Lord. God spoke with him. So, of course, he did not feel the pain of all of the stones that were being cast at his body. And this is what God does with his children. He blesses them. He keeps them. Because apparently we say, well, it is unjust that they had stoned Stephen. But I think God was with him and he felt no pain. And for God, there is nothing impossible. And so now we're going to take a look at who this young man was named Saul, who had been present there watching over the clothes of all of the witnesses who were stoning Stephen. So in chapter 8, verse number 1, now Saul was consenting to his death, Stephen's death. At that time, a great persecution arose against the church, which was at Jerusalem, and they were all scattered throughout the regions of Judea and Samaria. except the apostles. So it is said that they scattered the Christians, the believers who up to that moment had converted to the Lord. They were scattered due to fear, and it says that the apostles were the only ones who stood their ground. And devout men carried Stephen to his burial and made great lamentation over him. As for Saul, he made havoc of the church, entering every house and dragging off men and women, committing them to prison. This is what Saul would do. And then in verse 4, therefore, those who were scattered went everywhere preaching the word, the gospel, glory to God. They did not waste their time, but they were scattered, but wherever they went, they were preaching the word of the Lord. I once heard a sister, someone who said to her that she was going to be imprisoned because they had judged her or had raised false testimony on acts that she never committed. And they were threatening her, telling her she was going to have to go to prison and pay for that. But she said, I'm innocent. But regardless, if God wants me to go to prison, I will go and I won't waste my time there. I won't waste my time because I'm sure that my duty in the prison is to evangelize and to speak about God to all of those people. So I'm going to win over many souls for God. So the devil heard what her intention was if she were to go to prison. So the devil said, well, I'm not going to come after this woman anymore. So he stopped meddling and she was not taken to prison. But that was the plan that she had, which was to evangelize and to talk about God. Glory to our God. So in any place of the world, wherever we go or are, we must always look. Who can we talk to? Who can we testify to? There will always be a soul that God will place in our path to speak about him, because God always wants to comfort people. And so thanks be to the Lord. And it says that those that were scattered, they went everywhere preaching the gospel. Then Philip went down to the city of Samaria and preached Christ to them. And the multitudes with one accord heeded the things spoken by Philip, hearing and seeing the miracles which he did. For unclean spirits, crying with a loud voice, came out of many who were possessed, and many who were paralyzed and lame were healed. Now, we see a phenomenon here that in antiquity, when the law of Moses was preached, when God manifested himself through the prophets, there was never a phenomenon of hearing that people were filled with spirits and that they needed to pray for them and rebuke the spirits. And they never spoke or mentioned the work of the devil, nor did they ever mention that people had evil spirits and that you needed to pray and rebuke them. In antiquity, the service or the work was done by the high priest, who every year carried out the sacrifices, and with the blood of animals, he would sprinkle over the people of Israel as atonement of their sins. That was done once a year, but they never talked about the devil, evil spirits, Satan. No one talked about these things. And this is speaking of the law of Moses. The prophets, God gave them revelations and used them to speak and prophesy about the future concerning the latter days when the Messiah, the Savior, would come. and that new covenant and new different things would come where God said he would be with people and that God himself would teach them. And in some prophecies of those prophets in antiquity, they spoke of the coming and manifestation of the Spirit of God. But there were two things that apparently seemed so different, the law of Moses, compared to what happened after our Lord Jesus Christ and the preaching of the gospel and of the manifestation of his Spirit and also the manifestation of the devil, Satan, however the Bible calls him. So sometimes people question why this phenomenon occurs. And we see that in antiquity, God, he had the laws written in all of the norms. He had everything written and people had to read on the Sabbath whatever God had said you needed to no longer do or the things that you needed to do. But he never said you need to lay on hands, pray, and rebuke evil spirits because the evil spirits are what make you sin. The Lord never did that. Everything was material and physical in antiquity. Everything was almost literal. And later on with our Lord Jesus Christ, he begins to speak of spirits because he also rebuked and cast out many spirits from people. He worked those miracles. And he also began to teach that the enemy, the devil, was enraged and that he was coming to try and destroy and erase everyone's faith. For them, it was a doctrine that was very different, a new doctrine. This is why many, many unbelieving, foolish people oppose themselves to accepting the gospel of our Lord Jesus. Yet, that is what God wanted. This is why the Lord said through the prophets that they would come and proclaim good tidings of salvation, according to Isaiah the prophet, that the Lord would send them to preach good tidings of salvation. This was something new, new doctrine. It was different. And it was more simple, because in the law of Moses, there was no one to help them keep the law. Whereas in the gospel, we have the Holy Spirit who helps people to change, to be transformed for all of their spiritual bonds and ties to be broken and set free, free from sin, also free from many diseases. The Holy Spirit is the one doing that wonderful work. Those were the good tidings of salvation that Isaiah always spoke of. Good tidings. Something new was coming in the future. Something different and something difficult to believe and accept. This is why we see here in this story we're reading, there were those who opposed themselves. And these opposers were the same people who were practicing the law of Moses. So here, this is why it now mentions unclean spirits. In verse number 7, for unclean spirits and crying with a loud voice came out of many who were possessed, and many who were paralyzed and lame were healed. So it says that these unclean spirits cried with a loud voice whenever they would come out of people. These experiences we have lived in the church. I've seen them with my own eyes. I have lived many of these experiences of many people who had unclean spirits. And when in the moment of prayer and the moment of laying on hands, those spirits would manifest themselves and people would begin to cry out loud, make very strange sounds. They began to howl like a cat and like a wolf. All of these manifestations I've seen in the congregations when people come that are spiritually bound and sick by these unclean spirits. which are also diseases and do not allow a person to be normal or sane or reason. So all of this we have seen today. And this is why when I read this, for me, it isn't strange. For me, it does not shock me because I have lived and I've seen this in the church. In many people that have come and who have been delivered and today rejoice in gladness, deliverance, and our normal glory to the Lord. Now it says that many who were paralyzed and lame were healed. Well, I have seen all of that as well. And many of the brothers and sisters in the church, they have seen this too. In verse 8, and there was great joy in that city. But there was a certain man called Simon, who previously practiced sorcery in the city and astonished the people of Samaria, claiming that he was someone great. Now, it says that there was a man who practiced sorcery. Now, those who practice sorcery or magic, we call them spiritists or mediums, witches, sorcerers. That's what we call them nowadays. They have all of these different names. And these people are the ones who deceive others. They tell someone to try and deceive them. They say 8 lies and 2 truths. And with those 2 truths, people let themselves be deceived and they believe in that person. Today, we see all of these things on television shows, and we always see that they bring these kinds of people out and they have different names. They maybe read tarot cards and they are fortune tellers. And they come out and they deceive people. And people love to listen to them, or even in magazines or in the newspaper, in the news, in magazines, anything, this is published. And I'm amazed because these people who preach or who deceive all of these people when they begin with their predictions, all of those who believe in them, because even the media gives them importance and broadcasts them so that people see them, so that they have maybe better ratings on their shows. And if you ask them what is their religion, when you ask those who are in media, those who own magazines and newspapers, and who believe in those people that are false, those who are deceiving, who practice magic, they're sorcerers, you say to them, what religion are you a part of? And they say, I'm a Christian. And so that shocks me, because I say, well, if you were a Christian, well, then you should have read the Bible. But they've never read the Bible, because they are the kind of Christians who never read the Bible. They just call themselves Christians because they were taught by their ancestors that they were Christian. So they've never read the Bible. And I ask a question and say, well, as they've never read the Bible, because had they read it, they would have read when God forbid witches, sorcerers, spiritists, fortune tellers, wise men. God forbid that, astrologists. God forbid it and said, my children, those who walk in my ways, do not believe or practice these things. But this is what I am retelling you, brothers and sisters, because as time has gone by, I read the Bible and I see the reality out in the world. And I hear people still say, I'm a Christian, but they've never read the Bible. And that's exactly what happened back in that time. This man, Simon, I'm sure he was a part of the people of Israel. I'm sure he was an Israelite. And it says that he practiced sorcery and he deceived the people in Samaria. Let's remember, in Samaria there was a temple. They had built a temple for the Israelites there as well, and another temple had been built in Jerusalem, and that is where the Jews would go. And so it says that this man, Simon, he would try and claim he was someone great. Verse 10. Now, how sad it is, brothers and sisters, because this man, he was an Israelite. And it says that this man is someone whom they all gave heed, from the least to the greatest, saying, this man is the great power of God. So you see what he was saying? He was claiming a truth to try and deceive people, saying, this man is the great power of God. And someone hears that and says, oh, well, that person must be saying the truth because they are mentioning that God is powerful. And in verse 11, it says, and they heeded him. So all of those who were listening, they heeded what he said because he had astonished them with his sorceries for how long? For a long time, for many years perhaps. But when they believed Philip, as he preached the gospel of our Lord Jesus Christ, and Philip, he was working miracles and signs. So God, through Philip, manifesting himself with his gospel. And so it says that when they believed Philip, as he preached the things concerning the kingdom of God and the name of Jesus Christ, both men and women were baptized, glory to God, because Philip was preaching the truth, and it was with evidence and signs. Then Simon himself also believed. So this sorcerer, he also believed what Philip was preaching. And it says, and when he was baptized, so this sorcerer was also baptized. When he was baptized, he continued with Philip and was amazed, seeing the miracles and signs which were done. So he was amazed. He was marveled. He could not comprehend what was occurring. And he spent time with Philip. It reads in verse number 14. Now when the apostles who were at Jerusalem heard that Samaria had received the word of God, they sent Peter and John to them, who, when they had come down, prayed for them that they might receive the Holy Spirit. What a wonder. And we can just imagine how those things happened. So very wonderful things. They received the Holy Spirit. And observe Philip. He preached the gospel, and they were baptized in water. But no one received the Holy Spirit. Only when Peter and John went to them, and they laid hands on them, they received the Holy Spirit. How was it known that they had received the Holy Spirit? Because they spoke in what? In tongues. Because they spoke in other tongues different from their native tongues. Verse number 16. For as yet he had fallen upon none of them, speaking of the Holy Spirit. They had only been baptized, meaning the water baptism, in the name of the Lord Jesus. They had been baptized, but they were missing that baptism of fire, which is the baptism with the Holy Spirit. Verse 17, then they laid hands on them, and they received the Holy Spirit. Glory to the Lord. And this is something we desire and yearn for with all of our heart, and we also live in our congregations. Only that we no longer see that this blessing is in mass. It is now more sporadic because it also depends on people and the willingness of the heart. It depends on that so that people receive the Holy Spirit. There are people who are rebellious and proud, foolish. They have spiritual bonds. Others are fearful, shy. They are embarrassed to pray out loud. They are embarrassed to sing out loud. They are embarrassed to clap their hands. They become scared, timid. They harden themselves and resist and do not prepare their heart for God. And this is why the Holy Spirit does not baptize them. The Holy Spirit does not baptize them because they've hardened themselves. What happens is when a turtle or a snail goes back into their shell to protect themselves from danger. So they get back into their shell. They don't come back out. That is what happens to people. And people desire and long for the Holy Spirit and say, I want to receive the Holy Spirit. I want the Lord to baptize me and to give me spiritual gifts. But there is something in this person that hinders them. There is a spiritual bond, a tie, something that does not allow them to receive it. And we can also include in that pride and vainglory, presumptuousness. A person who thinks that they know a lot, they have a lot, that they do a lot of things. So that is how they harden their heart, and the Holy Spirit cannot come. But in our churches, in all of the years I have lived in this congregation from the moment the Lord began to form it, I have seen hundreds of people baptized with the Holy Spirit and with wonderful spiritual gifts. And so, what we're reading here today, it repeats itself in our lives. But like I said, there are people who do not prepare their heart to receive this wonderful blessing. And we are in verse 15. And we continue with 16. No, 18. So we continue in 18. Verse 17 reads, then they laid hands on them and they received the Holy Spirit. 18. And when Simon saw, and this was Simon the sorcerer who followed after Philip, when Simon saw that through the laying on of the apostles' hands the Holy Spirit was given, he offered them money. Now this concerning money and greed, this is what has destroyed spiritual lives, and it has destroyed and finished with all of the people whom God had many plans with, and God wanted to use them greatly with the spiritual gifts and with miracles. And even back in that time, brothers and sisters, the time that we are reading about, many people who received the spiritual gifts and God used them to work miracles and signs, they became materialistic and greedy. They were not sincere with God. They did not truly convert to the Lord. And what occurs is, because of greed, they began to charge and ask money from those who received the benefit from God, those who were receiving the miracle. So the person praying for them said, well, you have to give me money. And they would say, okay, you want prophecy? Well, you have to pay me because this has a price. You want me to lay on hands? Well, you have to pay me for laying on of hands. And if they worked a miracle, well, then they had to pay even more money because this had a higher price. So even back in that time, in the beginning of all of the Acts of the Apostles when the church began, and also this commercialism began, and there was greed in people. They began to see God's plan or the preaching of the pure gospel of the Lord. They started to view it as a business or something that you can profit from and make money. And in that way, people, they began to twist their ways, and God began to turn away. God took his support away from many. The Holy Spirit went away from these people. Because God does not want us to have any greed in our hearts. Not to have any sin in our heart. Because we would not be able to serve the Lord as he wants us to. As he wants to use us and for us to serve him. So all of the things that I'm reading, this was a reality. And even back in that time, over 2,000 years ago, even to this day, many have marketed and traded with the word of the Lord and deceived many people. And that is why there are people who are hard of heart and unbelieving, and rightfully so, because of the deceit, the lies. And God turns away and does not support. And so people become preachers. They become people who talk, but there is no evidence or any sign that shows that God manifests himself in order to convince other people. That is what has happened throughout these 2,000 years. That is why God has wanted to raise many congregations and many people and give them of his power and support and manifest himself to people. God has wanted to do all of these things, and people have failed God. They have failed the Lord, and what God does is turn away. But people, they continue to preach, and they have formed many Christian religions, and they form groups. Each person leaves and then preaches a verse, and from there they start their own religion. But God is not supporting them. God is not with them. The Holy Spirit does not manifest himself. The spiritual gifts are not manifested. God does not support those people. He leaves them alone. And they preach and they preach, and all those who hear the word, it comes in one ear and out the other, and they don't understand, do not convert, because God is not there supporting. When God spoke over 60 years, and he said he was going to raise up a congregation in all the world, and that he himself would convert hearts, he would bring people, he would bring the souls. He has done that wonderful work, and many of you are witnesses of it. The change of life God has given us all, the transformation and the manifestation of the Holy Spirit and the spiritual gifts. And we would like and we ask God to give us in a greater proportion, and that he manifest himself abundantly in our congregations. And I know God will do that one day. But the Lord has manifested himself and has supported this congregation worldwide because he spoke it. He is a living God of power, and this is why we know it was that mighty God who spoke. And so this is why we are fighting for God to always be with us, so that God supports us and never turns away from us. We are fighting with a sincere heart for God to always be with this congregation until the day the Lord comes in the clouds for his church. This is our hope. This is what we believe, what we trust in, and this is what God has promised. Glory to our God. And so, I continue with this story here, reading. And it says that this man, Simon, this sorcerer, he offered money to have these spiritual gifts, verse 19, saying, "Give me this power also, that anyone on whom I lay hands may receive the Holy Spirit." Now, what do you think about that? Do you think God's things can be bought with money? No, they cannot be bought. So Peter said to him, "Your money perish with you because you thought that the gift of God could be purchased with money. You have neither part nor portion in this matter, for your heart is not right in the sight of God. Your heart is greedy." He tells him, "Repent, therefore, of this your wickedness, and pray God, if perhaps the thought of your heart may be forgiven you. For I see that you are poisoned by bitterness and bound by iniquity." Peter, as an apostle, a prophet, evangelist, and teacher, and preacher, God revealed to him the state in which this Simon the sorcerer was in. And he tells him, "I see that you are poisoned by bitterness and bound by iniquity. You are not happy. You need to repent and ask God for forgiveness." And in verse 24, "Then Simon answered and said, 'Pray to the Lord for me, that none of the things which you have spoken may come upon me.'" Simon believed Peter. He knew Peter was a son of God, a servant of the Lord. Verse 25, "So when they had testified and preached the word of the Lord, they returned to Jerusalem, preaching the gospel in many villages of the Samaritans. Blessed is the Lord." Later, there is another narration of what occurred to Philip and the Ethiopian. Now, an angel of the Lord spoke to Philip, saying, "Arise and go toward the south along the road which goes down from Jerusalem to Gaza. This is desert." Now, when it says that an angel of the Lord spoke to Philip and gave him instructions, I remember when there was a month or two before we, the four people, started praying, and it was with those four people that the church was formed with. It was about 2 months before we began with our nightly prayers, and it was done with the four people. And I remember a sister who was there among the four people, and she had a vision, and an angel appeared to her, an angel of the Lord, and spoke to her and said, "The elect lady is on the way." And she said she saw our Lord Jesus Christ as well. And he said, "She is coming. The elect lady is coming, and I am with her. Prepare yourselves." And then a month or two later, we started praying, the four people. And then a year later, God spoke to us and said he was going to raise up his church in all the world. And so God manifests himself. He has always manifested himself. So this does not make me feel envious of the people back then, because we live this today. We are living this. God speaks to us. God speaks to us. He manifests himself. We can see the Lord in a vision. Glory to the Lord. And it says that this angel gave instructions to Philip in verse 27. "So he arose and went, and behold, a man of Ethiopia, a eunuch of great authority under Candace, the queen of the Ethiopians." So he was an official of the queen of the Ethiopians, who had charge of all her treasury and had come to Jerusalem to worship, was returning and sitting in his chariot. He was reading Isaiah the prophet. Now, how beautiful it is that this official was reading Isaiah the prophet. He was concerned in knowing more about God. And this is why God rewarded him, because he was concerned in reading. And that's how it is when people set aside time to read the Bible. God is pleased. God is very happy when he sees someone reading the Bible, because it is the Word of God and it is researching more about God. And he was reading Isaiah the prophet, and God blessed him in verse 29. Then the Spirit said to Philip, the Holy Spirit said, go near and overtake this chariot. Now, this is not strange, because today we have lived these experiences when God, he appoints and commands us, go and lay on hands on that person, or go lay hands on her. That is what God does. So Philip ran to him and heard him reading the prophet Isaiah. Now, Philip immediately obeyed the Holy Spirit and went to the chariot where the Ethiopian was, this official. And he was reading the prophet Isaiah and said, do you understand what you are reading? So Philip asked the official, do you understand what you are reading? And he said, how can I unless someone guides me? And he asked Philip to come up and sit with him. The place in the scripture which he read was this. So this was the scripture that he was reading. He was led as a sheep to the slaughter, and as a lamb before its shearer is silent, so he opened not his mouth. And this was talking about our Lord Jesus Christ. 33. In his humiliation, his justice was taken away. And who will declare his generation? For his life is taken from the earth. And this is all speaking about our Lord Jesus Christ. And this was in Isaiah 53, verses 7 and 8. And so, how wonderful. And precisely this official was reading about our Lord Jesus Christ, the prophecy that had been given by Isaiah regarding the Messiah. And in verse 34, so the eunuch answered Philip and said, I ask you, of whom does the prophet say this? Of himself or of some other man? So you see, he did not understand. He did not understand what he was reading. And this is why he asked, who is this about? Is it about himself or someone else? Verse 35, then Philip opened his mouth and beginning at this scripture, preached the gospel of our Lord Jesus Christ. To him the glory be to our Lord. Now as they went down the road, they came to some water. And the eunuch said, see, here is water. What hinders me from being baptized? Well, nothing was stopping him, because he had believed. He had believed in what Philip preached. So from Isaiah 53, 7 and 8, he began to speak to him of the gospel, and he spoke to him about our Lord Jesus Christ and taught him about the water baptism. And this is why he understood. This official understood so well that he said, what hinders me from being baptized? And Philip said, if you believe with all your heart, you may. And he answered and said, I believe that Jesus Christ is the Son of God. Mighty is the Lord. I believe that Jesus Christ is the Son of God. And see how this official understood the gospel, the pure gospel of our Lord, to perfection. And he commanded the chariot to stand still, and both Philip and the eunuch went down into the water, and he baptized him. Glory to the Lord. How beautiful are these things that happened, and how beautiful are the things that happen today as well in our church. Because the Lord is manifesting himself. God always manifests himself. And today the Lord is manifesting himself with wonders in people's lives, in hospitals, in many places, in any place around the world. God is manifesting himself, and he makes his word evident. His miracles, his signs are evident to people, and people believe in his work that he is raising up in his congregation. Blessed is the Lord. This is why we cannot disappoint our God. We cannot, because we are already witnesses of his power, of his wonders, of everything he does. We are witnesses of God's living existence. And it reads here in verse 39, "Now when they came up out of the water, the Spirit of the Lord caught Philip away." Meaning, Philip disappeared from the sight of the eunuch. So the eunuch, when he looked, he no longer saw Philip. He had disappeared. The Holy Spirit had taken him away to another place. And this is not strange. This is not something that we should say, "Well, that's incredible. That's a lie. I can't believe it." It has happened. Many things have happened in our church. And one of these days, I will also be sharing other wonderful testimonies of all of these things. Of being taken away, as it says here, because all of this is true. And it says that the Spirit of the Lord caught Philip away so that the eunuch saw him no more. And he went on his way rejoicing, "Blessed is the Lord." But Philip was found at Azotus. So the Holy Spirit took him away that Philip did not even realize. At one point he walked, he ran, however it happened. He just appeared in Azotus, a city. And passing through, he preached in all the cities till he came to Caesarea. Glory to our God. And when the next beautiful and wonderful chapter begins, it narrates the story, the experiences of the Apostle Paul. But at this point, his name was Saul. Saul. So this is the word of God. This is the gospel of our Lord Jesus Christ. The gospel of our Lord Jesus Christ is that in which the Holy Spirit and the spiritual gifts are manifested, where God is manifested. That is the gospel, where God speaks and he supports his people, his children, his pastors, his preachers, the prophets, those that prophesy, men and women. God is supporting this wonderful work. God supports it. That is the pure gospel, where the Holy Spirit is present and he manifests in the midst of the congregation. That is the true gospel. It is not just those who read the Bible and that is it. They feel nothing. God is not there. God does not support them. They don't receive the Holy Spirit. That is not the true gospel of the Lord. We must seek the true gospel of the Lord if you have not yet found it. If you have not found it, then I invite you to come and congregate. Congregate in the closest church. Search on the internet. We have all of the churches and their addresses, the cities, the towns, the countries. Wherever it is you are, you will find the church. Go and congregate and receive prophecy. Receive laying on of hands. Receive this message from God. The message of the living God. And so I invite you to congregate and to also enjoy these things, because these blessings and experiences that these apostles had, it was not just for that time. It is for today and for tomorrow as well. The honor and the glory before our God. Let us now rise and let us pray to the Lord, and let us pray for those that are ill. Let us ask God to work miracles and signs, and that he heal and deliver many people, and may he make many people happy. Heavenly Father, eternal God, Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, our mighty God, our true God, you dwell in the heavens. You are seated in your throne. You are on your holy hill. You are there, Lord, looking down at us, observing and watching the earth and the sons of men, to see who is doing what is right and who is not. And you are there, Lord. You watch over them. But you, Lord, also bless all those who call upon you wholeheartedly. You bless them and you love them. And you have manifested yourself in our midst. You have given us of your Holy Spirit and your wonderful spiritual gifts, and you have blessed us greatly. And this is why we need to proclaim this and declare it to the world, that you are a great, mighty God, a living God of power. Thank you, Father. Thank you. We thank you. We give you the honor, the glory, the praise. In the name of Jesus Christ, your beloved Son, we praise you, Lord. We bless you. You are blessed forevermore. And now, Father, in your mercy, we ask that you stretch out your healing hand. For you are our divine physician as well. Your healing hand upon men, women, children, the elderly, those that are ill, who suffer with different diseases. May you heal their diseases. If people have to go to the doctor and they have to have surgery, well, you will be there in the hands of the doctor so that the surgery comes out perfect, so that you may bless all of those who trust in you, who cry out to you, who ask you, Lord. Yes, my Father, because you are our God, our Father, our Creator. Also, Lord, may you deliver the people who have been jeopardized and who have been tormented by evil spirits, unclean spirits, sorcery and witchcraft and curses. Lord, deliver and rebuke the enemy and cleanse each person. May you deliver, give peace, give joy, give happiness. Thank you, Lord, for listening to our prayers. Thank you for listening to our cry. Your name is glorified and exalted forevermore. The honor is for you, my Lord, and we pray all things in the glorious name of Jesus Christ, your beloved Son, to whom is all the honor, the glory, and praise forever and ever. Thank you, my Father.
Solo Dios hace al hombre feliz. Solo Dios hace al hombre feliz. La vida es nada, todo se acaba. Solo Dios hace al hombre feliz. Solo Dios puede hacerte feliz. Solo Dios puede hacerte feliz. La vida es nada, todo se acaba. Solo Dios puede hacerte feliz.
Glory and honor before our God. Thank you very much, brothers and sisters. And thanks be to the brothers and sisters here with me. A very big hug to all of you. And for all the children, a kiss, and God bless you, and may God shower you with blessings. Thank you.